Workers in Nashville, St. Helena, California, October 5th, 1907. To the workers in Nashville, the Lord has given me this message for the workers in and about Nashville. Unify, unify. Study the light that God has given, and let every ray of light received shine forth to the thousands around you in the southern field. From the printing office and from the sanitarium, let light go forth that will lead men and women from error and ignorance to a knowledge of God and His salvation. There has been so little of earnest effort made to have the presence of Christ among the workers in the Nashville Publishing House, so great a lack of true consecration, that the Holy Spirit could not preside there. The responsibility resting upon the managers of our large publishing houses is very great. Brother Ford is not well qualified to fill the position he occupies. There is need that his character be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If not, he will deal selfishly. Let the managers of our publishing houses be thoroughly converted men, or find some other line of work to do. He who occupies the position of manager in such an institution as the Southern Publishing Association is to be an educational power. He should be a man who will not weave into his management any thread of selfishness. The character of Christ is to be revealed in the example he sets before the workers. Before he takes any new step, he will ask himself the question, "Is this the way of the Lord?" It is time now for every worker in the office to seek the Lord with full purpose of heart. It is not a time to work for selfish ends. In their characters, the workers are to glorify God and honor His truth. They are to study His plans and learn to walk in His ways. Every power of mind and body is to be brought into harmony with the laws He has given, that the influence that is exerted before believers and unbelievers may be such that His name will be honored. We have an exalted truth, and it is to be revealed in supreme love for God and unselfish love for our neighbors. The Lord desires His truth through us to stand out before unbelievers in all its grace and purity and glory, so that no evil testimony shall be truthfully borne against those who believe in it. There is grave danger in the spirit that has been manifested to gain advantage of believers and unbelievers. Its manifestation will develop the same spirit in the workers, teaching them to take advantage in matters pertaining to their work in the office. This spirit will not bear the test of the principles laid down in the Word of God, and its presence rings His rebuke upon the office. Christ is our pattern. He was sent into the world to be an example of what every son and daughter of God must be. The workers in our printing offices, in our sanitariums and schools, are to work together in harmony and disinterestedly for the advancement of God's work in every line. True, clean principles are to mark their actions. I have been shown that all our labors in connection with the interests of the cause of God should bear a holy impress. Our eyes are to be anointed with heavenly eye salve, that we may have righteous perceptions, and the strength of our affections is to be given to God. It is not a cheap religious experience that God requires of the workers in the office of publication, but hearts truly converted and powers sanctified to His service. God is dishonored when those who profess to serve Him do not keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Some of the workers who are connected with the office in Nashville have acted as though under a spell. Some have nearly lost the sanctification of the truth out of their hearts, and their actions have been marked by unrighteousness. God will not justify one action that is born of selfishness. He is dishonored unless love for truth and for those who know not the truth become a part of our being. I am burdened and distressed when I see how easily men in positions of trust, men who have pledged themselves by holy vows to be true to God, are led into forbidden paths. No man should be placed in official position who has not learned to exercise the tenderness of Christ in dealing with his brethren. Whatever our business in this world, our first business is to be lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. Light is to shine from Christ to His followers, and from them to the world in good works. Those who appreciate true goodness will be conscious of its power. It is true conversion, an entire transformation, that God is now demanding of His workers. Long time has He been dishonored, and no permanent reformation has changed the spiritual atmosphere. But thorough work is now to be done. There is to be a coming up on a higher spiritual platform. There must be given to the world a revelation of the power of the truth to sanctify. God is known only through the Son, and through Him to whom the Son shall reveal Him. The knowledge of the glory of God was revealed in the life of Jesus Christ. The believer is to be recognized as a laborer together with God. Never is he to exalt self. He is to firmly refuse to enter into any plan by which he would gain an unfair advantage of another. He is not to seek success by following worldly policies. God requires of the Christian a higher order of action than this. The word of the Lord is to be his wisdom, his righteousness, his sanctification, and his redemption. Our power for usefulness in the work of God comes from him who sacrificed himself, that he might restore man from the degradation of sin. He, the Prince of Heaven, laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown and came to the world as a human child. He clothed his divinity with the garb of humanity, that humanity might embrace humanity and make it possible for the human family to become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the sufferings Christ endured in behalf of humanity he endured willingly, that man might be reconciled to God. Christ's greatest earthly joy was in a clear perception of his mission and in his power to fulfill that mission. By subordinating his mind and will to the will of his Father, Christ sustained the closest fellowship with God. The soul who contemplates the sufferings of Christ, endured that man might become partaker of the divine nature, will appreciate redeeming love. And when that soul learns to manifest the love for men that Christ's sacrifice revealed, the richest, purest joys of the plan of redemption will be realized. His gratitude, his sanctified life, his eagerness to serve will make plain to others that he is a partaker of Christ's nature. Such a man will never be covetous or grasping, nor will selfishly strive for personal advantage. Every temptation will cause him to press closer to the side of the one who has promised, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. My fellow workers, lay yourselves, with all the powers and affections of mind and heart, upon the altar of God to do His will. Then, converted in principle, appropriating the abundant grace that Christ has provided, you will learn to reflect His light by working out His character in your own lives.